It's 83. Talking about keeping ourselves still. And tonight, we're talking about step four in keeping ourselves. And I've entitled it, Be Quick to Forgive. Now, forgive me is kind of a... I've learned a lot about this because I don't know... I have to watch myself a little bit. You know what a scrupulous conscience is, anybody? Ever heard that term, scrupulous conscience? It sort of means that sometimes you penalize yourself when you haven't done anything to be penalized for. Other people have kind of a more loose conscience, which maybe they ought to penalize themselves a little bit more than they do. But the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. And so what might be sin for one person isn't necessarily sin for another. We all understand that, right? All right, now, tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about forgiveness and maybe lay to rest some things that maybe we've never understood about this. And I know in my case, sometimes I penalize myself for things. In other words, every time I used to have an unlovely feeling in my soul about someone, I thought, oh, I got to repent, you know, I'm not in love. Find out that's not necessarily so. And I'm going to explain tonight why and what the Word has to say about this. Emotion, there's a difference between an emotion in your soul and an action from your spirit. And tonight we're going to delve into this a little bit, okay? Now, to forgive, let's turn to Matthew 18, first of all. Let's talk a little bit about forgiving. We're all familiar with this famous example that Jesus gave here. It starts in verse 23. And it's talking about this man. He's talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like in verse 23. And he said, it's likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, there was one brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. My margin says, a fabulous sum, about $9.25 million. Yours might say something a little different, but it was a fabulous sum. But this man had no way to pay, so his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, we all know what this is an example of, don't we? It's a real-life example, and it's also something that has a deeper meaning. Who gave all that they had for us? A very great sum. The Father gave Jesus, right? So we're seeing a great debt that's been forgiven to all mankind here, aren't we? But we're also seeing a little parable about this thing. Okay. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him this tremendous debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is a tiny sum, big, insignificant sum. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Sounds like the same words that he gave his Lord. And he would not, but went and had him cast into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, called him and said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to. Shouldn't you have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? In other words, that's telling us we should forgive others as God has forgiven us. Okay, that's also later in the scriptures. And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise will my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. In other words, because he didn't forgive, he eventually wasn't forgiven. Correct? And that's scriptural. Remember Jesus said, you know, if you don't forgive, neither will my heavenly Father. Jesus said, forgive you. That's another place. That's Mark 11:25 and some other places. So we see a lot of things here. We see that God expects us to forgive others as he forgave us. we see that he forgave us an awful lot. It's not much to expect us to forgive a little bit. Things pale in comparison that people do to us compared to what mankind did to Jesus and what God forgave mankind of. And we also see that if we don't forgive, that we will not be forgiven. So that's some of the things that are in this parable. The one thing, though, that I want to bring out here is that he said, forgive from where? From your heart. See, unforgiveness and forgiveness, you forgive from your heart. There's certain things that are of the spirit, and there's certain things that are of the soul. Now, we learned probably almost 2 years ago, one of the very first lessons we had was on the spirit, the soul, and the body. And we talked about the difference between them. And we talked about the fact that, you know, our body is our physical part of us. And we talked about our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. And we talked about what our spirit is. That's who we really are. In other words, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and it lives in a body. Our spirit lives in this body, okay? So we're spirits and we have a soul. Now, in the soulish realm is where emotions lie, all right? And in the spirit realm is where things of the spirit lie. For example, there are fruits of the spirit. We know what those are, don't we? Because the Bible tells us. They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. All these things are fruits of the Spirit. These are spiritual things. Love and faith are both in this list, and they're of the Spirit. Now, there are some other things that are a little bit like them that aren't of the Spirit. For example, love is of the Spirit, but liking isn't of the Spirit. Love is an action from the Spirit. Faith, when acted upon, is an action of the Spirit. Completed faith, some people call acting on your faith completed faith. That's a spiritual entity. But things that sort of sound like them aren't necessarily. For example, liking someone or not liking them is not the same as loving, because one is of the Spirit and the other is an emotion. Liking is an emotion. Loving is of the Spirit. Similarly, faith is of the Spirit, but hope is of the soul. It says in Hebrews 6:13, I think it is, hope is an anchor of the soul. Okay, so, but we can get these things confused, and it has confused me at times, because I felt this. I felt if I didn't particularly, now liking, let me say one other thing about liking first. Liking is not in the Bible. Like, the word like, is not in the King James or the NIV, in the sense of taking pleasure in someone. Now, that's say things like, this is likened to that. That's a different meaning for like, you understand. There's two meanings for like. One means, I like you, you know, I mean, I take pleasure when you're around. And the other just seems to mean, you know, black is a little like gray. You know, they're both a dark color. That's a different meaning for like. That is in the Bible. But nowhere in the Bible is this like that we call liking, where it means to take pleasure. Now, pleasure's in the Bible, a lot of places. Things like that are in the Bible. So, if you want a good definition of what we call today liking, it would mean to take pleasure in. Okay, let's let that be our definition for tonight, because that's in the Bible. Liking means to take pleasure in someone, but it is an emotion. All right, now I'm spending a little time on this because I think it's going to help some of us. It helped me to see this. Now, liking someone is an emotion, and it's not a command by God. Loving someone is an action of your spirit and is a command from God. Now, I can show you this in the Word. For example, turn to Hebrews 10:38. This is probably something you've never heard brought out quite this way before, but I think sometimes we need to understand these things, because if we're not careful, we need to forgive, but we don't need to kick ourselves sometimes when we've already forgiven, and we think just because we have an emotion for it when we see somebody, that means, oh, I'm in unforgiveness. That doesn't necessarily mean that. That's where I'm getting at, okay? That's why we're talking about this. Now, Hebrews 10:38 says this, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We talked about liking someone being taking pleasure in their company being around them, and it's an emotion. What he's saying here is the just shall live by faith. If any man draws back, my soul isn't going to take pleasure in him. You're going to love him, because that's a command, that's an action of the Spirit. But an emotion is different than an action of your spirit. That's my point here. All right, loving is an action of the Spirit. Remember love when you're born again? The love of God is shed abroad where? In our hearts. That's in our spirits. Okay? Galatians 5:22 says love is a fruit of the Spirit. So love is of the Spirit. Mark 12:30 says we're to love God from our hearts. You know, with all our heart. Soul and mind, everything of us to love God, okay? But that love that's shed abroad in our heart is going to come from our heart when we love somebody. 1 Corinthians 4-7 is an action that love takes, because that's what love is. Love is an action. Now, let me just put this all together the way I believe the Lord gave it to me. You're not required to take pleasure in every event or in every person, but you are required to love them. All right, for example, so if say a person is irritating to you, you're not required to like that, but you are required to suffer long and be kind toward them. That's a love action. All right, you don't have to enjoy the irritating thing. If something provokes you, a person provokes you, or an event provokes you, you don't have to enjoy that or the person bringing it. But the word says love is not provoked. Love doesn't act on that. All right? Let's say somebody does evil toward you. You don't have to like the person that's bringing the evil, but you do have to love them by taking no account of the evil done to you. You understand this? Now, I'm just going on here. Let's say you're not required to take pleasure in a person or an event that brings a burden to you. But you are required to bear all things in action without retaliating against the person. You don't have to like it. All right, now, I'm just trying to draw. In other words, things, just the same way we don't thank God, it says praise God in all things. It doesn't say praise God for all things. In other words, we don't praise God when a little child is killed by a car or something. Well, praise God, you know, praise God for all things. No, praise God in all things. And God, you know, can work to bring about a reduction to grief in the family or whatever it might be. But there's a difference between liking and being in emotion and loving being in action from your spirit. And I have kicked myself for years for times when people would come and do something toward me that wasn't right or do something irritating when I felt an emotion of dislike. And I would come before God and I would say, God, I'm sorry, I repent, I wasn't in love, I forgive him, not knowing that that wasn't unforgiveness. That's just an emotion. Unforgiveness is deeper than that. Unforgiveness is when that emotion takes over and goes to seed and becomes, now I'll prove this in a second here. Are you still with me on this, okay? Because the reason I'm doing this is because some people kick themselves and won't forgive themselves because of something like this, and you don't need to do that. You can not forgiving yourself is just as serious as not forgiving someone else. Both of them can get you in trouble. Now, let's take another look at this by looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Are you making sense to you, honey?
Yes.
Okay. She's my litmus paper over here. It doesn't make sense to her. It's probably not going to make sense to anybody else. She knows me pretty well. I know it makes sense spiritually, but I'm just asking if I'm getting it out right. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 4. This helped me a lot, too. Verse 26. This whole chapter, this whole last verse 21 through the end of the chapter is wonderful. I mean, it's a wonderful place to meditate. Starts off at verse 22, where the Holy Spirit is telling us to put off the former way of life, which we had, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Put on the new man, which is renewed in righteousness and true holiness. So how do we do that, Lord? Okay, I'll tell you. Verse 25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Now listen to this one. Be angry Is anger of the spirit or an emotion? It's an emotion. Be angry. You can have the emotion, but don't sin. You see that? You can be angry and still have not sinned. I used to think just being angry with someone was a sin. It's not necessarily a sin. Because it says right here, be angry and sin not. If anger was always a sin, you wouldn't have to say be angry and sin not. Okay.
Mine says, don't sin by letting anger give you control.
Okay.
There's a difference between being angry and letting it.
Right. Exactly. And that would be getting into unforgiveness. When that sinks down, in other words, what it's saying here, and let's go on because it nails it down. Be angry and sin not. Now this is how you know. By not letting the sun go down on your anger. In other words, everybody has temporary anger sometimes. That's a soulish emotion. But when we dwell on this anger or let it control us by letting it take over for a period of time, then that's where we get sin involved. But a flash of anger because somebody's done something unfair is an emotion, and that's just like a bad thought that comes to your mind. Is that a sin? No, not if you didn't invite it there. I've heard some preachers, Cypher Kenneth, they say, even the most spiritual men and women of God can have thoughts that they don't like come into their minds occasionally. But he says you don't have to let them nest there. You don't have to keep them there. I mean, we've all had thoughts come into our mind that were just appalling. The enemy puts there or something. And we're ashamed to have them. But it's not a sin. Because why? Our motive was not to dwell on this thought. It just came from nowhere. Whatever. All right? Anger, because someone does something to you, controlled, is not necessarily a sin. You can be angry and sin not. And the way you don't sin is by dealing with that anger before the sun goes down. That simply means quickly. Don't let it hang around.
That's not meaning the actual physical sun.
No. It just means get it settled quickly. Don't let it fester.
I can't do that. You know, I've got to go to bed sometimes, and then maybe, you know, the next day,
well,
subsided, you know, because, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea to get it done for. I don't know that this literally means before the sun goes down, because, you know, but it just means quickly, I think. I know we all kind of agree.
So
don't let it hang around.
Well, in your marriage, you don't let it go overnight.
Yeah.
Because it will be by morning, you will be so mad.
Yeah, I don't recommend you let.
Don't let it go overnight.
You know, if you get in bed mad at your wife or husband, that's not good.
No.
I think in that case, you need to stay up until you get this thing settled. Until you can just say, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
I hate the way we're doing this.
Because there's other damages that can be done by going to bed like that way, I think. At the same time, I'm not sure, like if it's something else, I mean, you know, I think it means quickly, but I also think in the case of a husband and wife, you really shouldn't sleep on anger.
Okay. Well, I've got anger at work. So, uh-huh. You know, and then it's like after a while, you get over it. You know, I mean, it's...
Well, make sure it's quickly. I mean, I think that's why he said in here...
But I mean, you know, in a day or so, you know what I mean?
Right.
If you're angry at someone at work, and you let that fester in your mind, so that I next day, I'm not going to speak to him for the next week. But every time you see him, just let yourself get more angry. That's when you're...
That's wrong. Yeah.
But if you let, as you say, some time will pass, and it's now...
I mean, we're all different personalities, okay? And there's some personalities that you're not going to like as well as others. That's okay. But you can act loving toward that person. Now, I'll tell you when it becomes sin, is when the other person picks up on the fact you don't care for them. Now you've got a problem. Because these things like love suffers long and is kind is something you do without letting the person know. I mean, you control these things on your own. Love is not provoked. In other words, don't... If your anger gets to the point where the other person knows you're angry, now I think you've got a problem where you've got to apologize to that person, okay? But if you just... If someone says something to you that hurts you and it makes you angry, you don't have to react to that person. You can just... You can get angry a little bit inside and say, wait a minute. I gotta get, you know, I don't like that.
Retaliate.
Retaliate. Yeah, that's a good word. Don't retaliate because of it. In other words, God understands we are emotional. We have we live in this earth. We have some emotions, but He says, "Be angry, but don't sin." So that tells me that you can have some anger, you can have some dislike, you can have some thing, but dislike with our definition, taking pleasure, not taking pleasure in something. You know, there are certain people that when you see them coming, I heard a preacher explain it this way one time, you take pleasure in. Okay? Because they're easy. You get along, that you're compatible. There's other people that if every time you have a meeting with this person, there's a confrontation and that person attacks you or they don't like you or something like that, you do not have to take pleasure in seeing that person. But you control it and you act in love toward that person.
Revenge.
Okay. I mean, right. You don't retaliate and you don't let them know if you're having this situation that you're controlling about them necessarily. You would keep that to yourself. And you would deal with this pretty quickly so that you don't have to, so it's not sin. Now, let's say you don't deal with it right away. And let's say it gets down and it's festering for a while. Now you've got a situation known as what we're talking about here is unforgiveness. Anger is, unforgiveness is really anger that's kind of gone to seed. In other words, you've played around with this too long, or dislike has gone to seed, to the point now where you've got a long-term problem with this person. All right, and that's what we're trying to avoid here. Not an instantaneous flash up to yourself, man, I didn't like that, you know. That's understandable. Deal with that and let it go. Unforgiveness is not letting it go and holding on. Yeah, holding on to it, right. When you get to the point of putting a bumper sticker on your car, yeah, you're in unforgiveness. All right.
The other thing about anger is there's two reasons it happens. Someone does something to you on purpose or innocently. And if it's innocently, you have a right not to like it, but you have to realize they didn't even know they were hurting your feelings. And if they do it on purpose, they want you angry. They want to get to you. Why would you do it?
Okay.
That puts you in unforgiveness and puts you up.
If you do.
In other words, if you get angry because they did it to you on purpose, they want you to get in this bad situation.
Right. I'm getting to that later, but right now I'm talking about the immediacy of something that happens to you and then the long-term effects of not dealing with that. That's unforgiveness. But the emotion of not being glad that person is here right now in my presence is not necessarily a sin. Okay? And for a long time I thought it was. And I was always repenting, telling God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And finally, God, you know, I never commanded you to have to like everything. I don't think Jesus liked it when he was interrupted teaching people. I don't know that Jesus liked it when he was interrupted by the Pharisees and they would come in there and they would interrupt his teaching and he was trying to bring something to the people. In fact, he called them whited sepulchres. He called them all kinds of things. I mean, he loved them, but I'm not so sure he liked the behavior. In other words, our definition is taking pleasure in those people coming in and disrupting what he was doing and all of that. Yes.
Do you have this picture here where he upset the tables for the money changers and he actually
had it? Yeah. Right, but it wasn't a thing that was debilitating toward him, and he was acting in love toward his father when he did it. But he didn't take pleasure in what they're doing, did he? He didn't like it. So all dislike, even when it comes to seeing someone coming, you're not commanded to go, oh great, it's that person that gave me this horrible time the last time they came and every other time I've ever seen them. I'm so glad they're here. You don't have to have that emotion, but you do need to love them. And you do need to, in other words, love. If you don't know what it is, go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. You suffer long and you're kind. You're not provoked. You don't take account of the evil they do to you. By take account means, okay, boy, I'll remember that, you know. You bear all things. You endure all things. But you're not necessarily glad that it's happening to you or that person is necessarily in your presence. Now, maybe I've spent too much time on this, but I had a problem with this for a while. because I thought that every time I had an emotion, that was necessarily wrong, and I had to repent of it. I found out those emotions weren't necessarily wrong, but what was wrong was to react to those emotions to the point where they got down in my spirit and became unforgiveness, to where every time I thought about that person, I thought about, boy, that was a dirty deed they did to me. You know, then if you're thinking about it a lot, then you've got a problem. But when you just forget about it, you know, they leave, or you don't see them or something, you're okay. All right. Why should I forgive? Well, first of all, Jesus says to. He said, forgive if you have aught against any. And in other words, unforgiveness can be over a little thing, only it's there for a long time. And that little thing, even though it's small or big or whatever it is, it's just there and you haven't let it go. See, anger is a temporary thing and you let it go before it becomes unforgiveness. All right. Here's another reason to forgive. Unforgiveness opens the door to the devil and it keeps it open. Now, since we're a little bit late tonight, let me just go through the rationale for this fairly quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, I forgave it, he's talking about a certain person, in other words, that person, if you recall, that was acting badly, immorally in the Corinthian church by having an affair with the stepmother. Do you remember that? And they chastised him and even cast him out of their fellowship for a while. Now Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the next book, the next letter he wrote him, says, now it's time to forgive that person. And he says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. Okay? Now, unforgiveness can lead to Satan getting an advantage over you. That's my point. It's basically saying what 1 John 5:18 says. We keep ourselves so the wicked one touches us not. He's looking for ways to take advantage of us. We don't want to give him any. All right? And so that's the purpose of this lesson. Now, unforgiveness leads to three bad things that I can think of. First of all, the devil can touch us. In other words, get involved in our lives. Number two, it leads to weak faith. And number three, because of that, it leads to ineffective prayer. Now, the next things are proof of that. First of all, we all know that faith is required for answered prayer. Mark 11:24 is our main scripture. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you might desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So believing you receive means faith. Faith is required to get your prayer answered. Matthew 6:14 and 15 says, unless we forgive others, there'll be no forgiveness for us. All right? If no, there's no forgiveness for us, if we're in unforgiveness, that means we're still in sin over this. Are you with me? Okay. Now, if we're still in sin, it means our faith will be weak, because Galatians 4:6 says, faith worketh by love. And if we broke the love commandment, our faith isn't going to work. So weak faith means no prayer answers. And then, I believe, is the reason Jesus said in Mark 11:25 what he said. And he said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. For if you don't forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. No. It just means that when unforgiving, we've broken fellowship with God. We have a broken relationship. In other words, if you die with an unconfessed sin, you're going to heaven if you believe that Jesus is your Savior. Because you haven't broken that relationship. He's still your Father. But what you've done is you've broken fellowship and you've moved into this area where Satan can get involved. Okay? And so our faith will be weak and we won't get our prayers answered. And so those three bad things, if we had more time, we could read all these scriptures. But if you follow through in your own, faith required for prayer to be answered. If you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you're still in sin. If you're still in sin, you're going to have weak faith because of Galatians 4:6, because faith worketh by love. And weak faith means you're not going to get your prayers answered. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive so that you can be forgiven and you get your prayers answered. So you got a double whammy going when you're in unforgiveness. You're in sin and the devil's on your case and no way or pray to get out. Yes.
One scripture that just came to mind was not walking to my wife, it's 1 Peter 3:7 that hinders my prayers.
Yes.
So and that scripture,
that speaks to you, doesn't it? It's spoken to me in my life too. Yeah, if you don't honor your wife as a joint heir and a joint inheritor to the grace of life, then your prayers can be hindered. Yes, isn't that beautiful? They're such sweet, lovable beings, always.
Oh, yeah. You certainly are.
Positive confession.
What I like to bring that would try and not be angry with me about something, and I'd be like, what's wrong? Nothing.
Bless his heart.
Yes, it was pretty good.
Well, he just didn't want to get into it. He didn't. Okay, how do I forgive? What do you do? Let's say somebody's done something to you. See, the thing is, when you're forgiving somebody, it's understood that you were wrong. Everybody that has to forgive has received something wrong against them. That's no surprise. But you've got to deal with it. You've got to not react in unforgiveness, not let that anger fester, not let it get out of control, not let it be something that you think about every morning when you get up, not that you think about every day. I mean, if somebody does something that you're just temporarily angry about, but not at them, and you say, no, I'm going to walk in love, they're not going to know how I feel about this thing, I'm just going to let it go. Now, sometimes it's okay to tell the person, too. I'm not saying always. Sometimes it's good to go to the person and just say, in love, because the Bible does talk about that. I found most of the time it's just better to swallow it and just let it go, because, but just whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But the main thing is get it taken care of. And so what do? You got in unforgiveness, you were wrong. They actually were wrong and did something towards you. But you don't have a right not to forgive them. All right. What you do is you first of all tell God, repent to God for having this unforgiveness. Say, God, I'm sorry. I forgive him now. I come before you now to tell you I forgive so-and-so. I forgive him. It's an act of my heart to forgive him right now. And I'm sorry that I let this get the best of me. That's what I do. Lord, I'm sorry I got to this point, Lord. I judge myself for it. And now I'm telling you I forgive that person from my heart. You still might feel a little emotion there sometimes, but, you know, the emotions will go away. Just forgive from your heart. All right? And then let it go for good. When that thought comes next time, if it comes, try to think, wait a minute, that's not part of my life anymore. I've forgiven that person. The picture might come back, and that's not a sin. Some people say forgive and forget. I don't think you can immediately forget. That's of the mind. It's of the soul. It's not of the spirit. Your spirit can immediately forget because you make an act of your heart to forget about it. But your mind might bring a picture. That's not a sin. What is start dwelling again and get upset all over again and get in forgiveness again. Don't do that. Sometimes it helps, I think, to think I'm doing this for him because he forgave me everything, like it says in Ephesians 4:32. He forgave me everything. At least I can do is forgive for this little thing. And then sometimes it's good, I think, to ask God to forgive them, too, because if you were wrong, they did something, usually. Okay? Ask God to forgive them so they can get out of trouble too. And we have scripture for that. 1 John 5:16 says, if we see a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, in other words, not that one weird sin that is unto death, but unto death, ask God to forgive them. And then we have scriptural examples of people that did that. Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen did it when he was being stoned. Forgive them. Moses did it for the children of Israel over and over. He said, Father, you know, forgive them. You know, he interceded for those people. So sometimes I think it's a good idea to ask God to forgive them too. Also, I think it helps if you're having a little trouble with emotions on this thing, it helps finalize it. God, I forgive them. I'm asking you to forgive them too. And sometimes, finally, in tough cases, I put it down. I don't mean it's tough to forgive. You can always forgive. But sometimes people have done things that have hurt so badly, maybe, that there's a lot of emotion involved with it, maybe. And sometimes to bring the emotions in line with my spirit, which is love. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and yours too. Sometimes, and I've done all these things, it helps to do something nice. God said, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Sometimes send a card to the person. You don't have to say, for forgiving you. I mean, you know, I mean, you can forgive them. Just say, just thinking about you and hope things are going well with you. Love, Mike, or whatever. Just something that's an act that helps me. I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm saying it's helped me to kind of lay it to rest once and for all. Send a card to them, pray for them, ask the Lord to bless them. I had a guy one time that did something to me that I felt was completely wrong, was wrong, but he was my best friend at the time, and it was very hard to deal with, and I forgave him, but he got to the point where it was over. He was a consultant to me at the time, and I had maybe spent maybe $50,000 retaining his services to help me do something over a period of a year or so, and at the end of that time, I ran out of money for him, and I told him, you know, the project's over. Show me where you are on it. I'll have to take it from here. And he got very angry. Felt that, you know, that he should be carried on in the project. And he would ask me to make him a partner in the project. But I came as a consultant, not as a partner. And I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, which was fine. But he got upset. And, you know, and I'm not blaming him. I forgive him. But you don't know who he is, so it's not hurting him. And then use some of the things he'd helped me with to start his own projects that were in competition with mine. And that really kind of zinged me. You know, at first I had to deal with this. So finally, to get to the point where I knew I had forgiven and laid this to rest, I prayed. I thought, how am I going to know? Because it was so emotionally involved. We were such good friends and everything. How am I going to lay this to rest? No, I've forgiven. I said, God, I pray that you bless him before you bless me on this project, that he's using what he did for me, the work he did for me on. I felt if I could do that, I must have forgiven him. And so for me, you know, that worked. I mean, that was a... So, you know, ask the Lord to bless them. Sometimes if they owe you anything and you have to forgive them because they never paid, you might just consider forgiving the debt as well. That gets rid of it once and for all, because I have found that in the areas of money, people that owe you money, they don't pay or something. It's one thing to forgive them and say, Lord, I forgive them for not repaying that debt. But then you kind of go on expecting that someday they're going to do that. And that has dangers of this whole thing leaping up and grabbing hold of you again. So I have found, for me at least, I'm not saying anybody else could do this, to forgive the debt as well sometimes helps. Then you can get rid of it forever. And I've had that on occasion happen with... Yes, honey. What?
On one occasion, another time, another place, someone we were, Michael was teaching for, brought up how much anger and resentment he had toward his own, one of his own relatives, Nicole Martin. They were all rich. And then you could sense this tremendous blackness of this person because he was so angry because of some other person he ever
paid. He says, I'll never forgive him.
And it was his
brother. His brother.
And it was so painful to watch that. I just couldn't even believe.
And I said, you realize you're not hurting him, you're hurting yourself, and you're blocking God's blessing in your life. I'll never forgive him for that. I mean, that's where it can get sometimes, and it's...
But, because it can bring sickness on the
body. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And in the overall scheme of things, like the money we forgive that young man, and the healing, the cancer, and the overall scheme of things, doesn't make a difference.
Well, I loaned him some money, and he quit paying after a while because I didn't bug him about it. And he tried to test it, and he paid every week and every 2 weeks, once a month. I never said anything because it was a scripture I read. It says if you lend to someone and they don't demand it again or something like that. And I'm not. To me, it hit me that way, and I thought, well, I'm not going to ask him for it. And finally, he never paid again, and months had gone by. And we were at work at the same place, and there was only about 30 people working at this place, so we saw each other all the time. And when he would see me coming, he worked out the shop and I worked in the office. You could just see him walking around me, kind of. But he never offered to pay anymore. And I forgave him. But then finally the Lord dealt with me and he says, I want you to tell him you forgive him. Because, see, he knew it. And it wasn't something that was inside that he didn't know anything about. Sometimes you're hurt and the other people don't know they hurt you. He knew that this case, it wasn't a hurt, it was that I knew about it. So he says, tell him you forgive him. I said, okay, because I already had. So I just said, Steve, I just want you to know I forgive you. You know, don't worry about it. And then the Lord said, tell him you forgive the debt, too. I said, and I forgive the debt, too. And the Lord taught me, don't ever loan money that you can't afford to give away. Because if you do, you're in danger of getting an unforgiveness, and there's a fairly high percentage of time you don't get paid back. I won't get past that on. Yeah. Yeah. It was a gift, and they forget about it, and whatever, you know. So, for what it's worth, be careful that, be quick to forgive, simply because you're opening a door to the enemy when you're in unforgiveness. And any open door, let's say, you know, we ought to open this door tonight. Well, what's out there that might get in? Mosquitoes. I don't like mosquitoes. If you just open and shut the door really quick, hardly any mosquitoes are going to get in. But if you open that door and go away and leave for a week, there'll be a lot of mosquitoes in here. So the thing is, be quick to forgive. The Lord can, slam the door quickly. Right.
All right. We've talked about situations where we're the party that was offended. What if we're the offending party? And we've gone and asked for forgiveness, but forgiveness is not granted. The other party cannot forgive.
That's okay. God's forgiven you. That's their problem.
Yeah, that's their problem. You have sincerely said, I'm really sorry, it was a terrible thing. Sorry it ever happened, I wish it never, blah, 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 blah.
Right. See, that would give people control over our forgiveness, and that's never the case. We can always go to God and be forgiven.
Some folks have a horrible time.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't
really
do it.
When do you have to go to the person? When they, you know, there's a scripture, Matthew 5:23, that says this: if when you go to the altar to offer your gift unto God, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, there leave your gift before the altar and go be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. In other words, what that's saying, if your brother knows. Now, you don't always have to go to your brother or a person, but if they know there's a problem, then you got to kind of do it. You know what I mean? If there's bad blood there. Now, sometimes you can be in unforgiveness toward anybody. They don't even know. They don't even know they've hurt you. They don't, you know, some people don't have a very, they can drift and bump through life and crash and boom, and they don't know who they're hurting, what they're doing, and you get angry, and maybe even in unforgiveness, and then you get out of that. They may never know, and you don't have to tell them, because you never hurt them. See, that only becomes a sin against them is when you act out of love toward them. And to me, when they pick up on the fact that you're, you know, that there's something going on there, then there's another spirit involved, and I may have to go to that person. I'll tell you one time, this was very difficult for me, and I'll quit. One time, we were invited to some people's house. Come down and visit us, come down and visit us, come down and visit us, come down and visit us. Finally, we did come down and visit. Stay at our house. We got an extra room. We missed you guys, and they'd been up to our house. We had taken them, they'd been at our house for a week. We'd take them to our cabin. We'd show them a wonderful time. We'd never taken them up on their invitation. Finally, we did. We came back down here from Duluth, where we lived, to Indiana, and we stayed at their house. We were there a couple of days, and they said, the man of the house said, you have to leave. And because we're going to go on a trip in a few days, and I need, when he went on a trip, it was a big deal. He had to concentrate, everything had to be perfect, he had to unload, get the car. He says, and I'm just consumed with that, basically, and for the next 2 or 3 days, and so you'll have to go somewhere else. So I thought, okay. Even after they'd been inviting us, I thought, okay, we'll do that. So we got on the phone right in their presence, started calling motels. There was something going on. There was not one motel that had a vacancy. And he heard this conversation. And he just waited there. These are our best friends. Yeah. And he listened on the phone. I'm sorry, there's no vacancies. I'm sorry, we couldn't get through. And he just never said anything. Finally, I went to Indianapolis to stay with my sister, 150 miles from where I wanted to be. Because what we had to do was in this area. We were doing something with the church here and everything else. Never said a word. I got upset. And I think he picked up that I was upset. So all night long, I concerned about this. And I kept going over my mind, but Lord, he brought this. They invited us, we came, and yeah, I'm a little hot about this. And the thing, but he knows it. So the next morning, I got up in the morning. It's the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I called the guy, and I said, I just want you to know that I'm sorry that if I upset you last night, that I want you to know I'm sorry I got upset with you when you said we couldn't stay at your house. He says, that's okay, don't worry about it. You know, never anything else like, you know, and maybe I was a little, it's okay, I understand. Don't worry about it, it's okay, you know. And my flesh was just going, wanted to say, but you know, you pushed me to this. I mean, maybe I did let you know that I was a little upset, but if it wasn't for your inhospitality, it would never, couldn't say that, you know. But he knew, I felt he knew. Now, I don't know for sure, but it got to me the point where it says, I want to end this once and for all. I don't want this hanging over my head. And maybe he didn't know, but I just wanted to make sure. But that was a hard one, you know, to go to that person when I thought they knew how I felt. Even though I felt I was more than justified in getting a little hot. Well, you've heard it all. That was a long time ago. But...
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's go over the homework now for Lesson 83. Recall that we were on the lesson. Lesson 83 is keeping ourselves, is the series that we're on. And we were on step 4, which is be quick to forgive. Lesson 83, homework now. Okay, here we go. First question, Lesson 83. When we forgive, we grant pardon in our heart to someone who wrongs us. Is that true or is that false? Well, that's true. According to Matthew 18, verse 35, it talks about this parable about this man who wouldn't forgive even though he'd been forgiven by his master. And at the very last verse, in verse 35, it says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So it's from our hearts that we forgive someone who wrongs us. So that's true. Next question. It is never necessary to forgive ourselves. True or false? Well, that's false. We need to forgive ourselves just like we might forgive someone else. The Bible says that, like Mark 11:25, that we should not have aught against any. That would include ourselves, because we're any. Unforgiveness toward ourselves really says that we know more than God does, because when we confess our sins, it says God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin of unforgiveness and then don't forgive ourselves, we're basically saying we know more than God, because He's forgiven us. He'll forgive us. And so it's also necessary to forgive ourselves. Number 3 here. Third question. True or false? God can't forgive us until we forgive the other person or ourselves, as the case may be. That's true. Matthew chapter 6, let's see, verse 14, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so God can't forgive us until we forgive the other person. And also, we just quoted Mark 11:25, which also confirms this, which says, let's see, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So it's necessary for us to forgive to be forgiven. Okay, next question. True or false? God's command is that we like, and our definition, remember, of like is to take pleasure in. God's command is that we like others. No, that's not God's command. God's command says that we must love one another as He has loved us. John 13:34. He doesn't command that we have to like others. That's different, as we talked about in our lesson. So that's false. True or false? Agape love is an emotion that we feel towards someone we are really compatible with. No. Agape love is of the Spirit, as we talked about in our lesson. Remember the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. These are the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. That's different than emotion. Remember that we're a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in our body.
Well, there's things that are of the spirit, there's things that are of the soul, and there are things that are of the flesh or the body. Turns out that agape love is of the spirit. It's not an emotion. An emotion is of the soul. It's a feeling. Soulish things or the soul is different than the spirit. You know, it's of our mind, our will, our emotions. Those are soulish things. Of our intellect, our will, our emotions. And so agape love is not an emotion. It's of the spirit. But liking someone is of a soul. So the answer would be then false. Agape love is not an emotion. Next question. It's okay to stew on what another has done to us as long as we have forgiven them. True or false? No. If you've truly forgiven someone, that's false. You're not going to stew on it. You let it go. That's the whole definition of forgiving. You forgive, it's an act of your will, and you just let it go. Now, you may think about it a little bit after that, and when you do, just put it out, try to put it out of your mind. But forgiving is granting pardon, remember from our first question, from the heart. And so as long as your heart's not stewing on it, you're all right. If your mind thinks about it once in a while, that's okay. You shouldn't dwell on it. But that is not necessarily an indication that you haven't forgiven them. Remember, the word says, be angry, which is an emotion, and sin not. Just because you have an emotion about something doesn't mean you've sinned yet. But when you dwell on it and refuse to let it go, then that becomes sin. Next question, true or false? It's okay to not forgive someone if they were unloving, unforgiving, or mean to you first. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. It doesn't have any... of course, if you wouldn't have anything to forgive if they didn't do something to you. So it wouldn't be okay not to forgive someone just because they did something to you first. It's understood that when you have something to forgive, they must have done something to you or there wouldn't be anything to forgive. So that's false. It's not okay to not forgive someone if they're unloving, unforgiving, or mean to you first. True or false? Unforgiveness opens the door to the devil to mess in your life. That's true. 1 John 5:18 says that if we keep ourselves from sin, which includes unforgiveness, then the wicked one touches us not. So to sin through unforgiveness would definitely open the door to the devil to mess in your life. We don't want that. All right, let's fill in the blanks on this one. We can shut this door to the devil, we're talking about here, by what? Well, it's very simple, by judging ourselves and confessing our sin of unforgiveness to God and then forgiving the person we were unforgiving toward. That's how you shut the door. So that's why it's really, really important that we do shut this door and forgive others. Not only because we're in sin when we don't, but because the devil can get involved in our lives and mess things up. So you shut the door by judging yourself. Yeah, I was wrong. I was unforgiving, Lord. I'm sorry. I confess this to you as a sin. And Lord, I want you to know that I forgive the other person. Okay. True or false? It's not a sin to avoid someone who seems to be always jerking your chain. Is that true or false? If you try to avoid meeting with someone who always seems to give you a hard time. No, that's not a sin. I mean, that's just avoiding the near occasion of sin, so to speak. It's not a sin to avoid someone. Now, it would be a sin not to love them, but it's not a sin to not look forward to those people coming into your presence in your life that's always giving you trouble. That's an emotion. That's called liking, and it's not a sin not to like somebody. All right, Jesus didn't always like everyone that was around him. You know, the Pharisees gave him a hard time. He had it hard to preach and teach sometimes, and he didn't like that, but he always loved them. True or false? We should count it all joy when someone is giving us a hard time and we are tempted to get mad at them, for this builds patience. I don't think we talked about this in the lesson, but the answer to this is true. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, count it all joy, all right, when you come into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So our patience grows when we're tested and we have a trial, and we just say, I'm counting it all joy, Lord. That doesn't mean it is all joy for us, but we just count it that way. We just say, I'm not going to get upset about this thing. I'm not going to get mad at this person. I'm not going to get unforgiving toward this person. And it's building patience in my life. A good thing is happening because of this. It's building patience. So the answer to that is true. True or false? It is dangerous to be in unforgiveness because our prayers won't be answered, the devil can attack us, and our faith won't work. True, all three of those bad things can happen in our lives when we're in unforgiveness. The Bible tells us, and we covered this in detail in our lesson, our prayers won't be answered. You know, Mark 11:25 said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Your prayers won't be answered. You need to forgive when you pray. Also, 1 John 5:18 says that if we don't keep ourselves and we're in sin, the devil can attack us. All right? And then finally, Galatians says our faith works by love. In other words, without love, your faith won't work. So all three of those things happen when we're in unforgiveness. Our prayers won't be answered, the devil can attack us, and our faith won't work. So that's true. True or false? Sometimes under extreme conditions where someone has hurt me or the one I love very badly, it may be impossible to forgive. True or false? False. God doesn't have any conditions on unforgiveness. He says, forgive if you have aught against any. In other words, God will never ask us to do something we can't do. And the very fact that the Word commands us to forgive means that we can do it. God would be unjust if He asked us to do something we couldn't do. We have the same spirit that Jesus had. And Jesus forgave from the cross. We have the same spirit that Stephen had. And Stephen forgave when he was being stoned. You can do it. The flesh doesn't like it. And the mind and the soul may not like it, but you can forgive from your experiment, from your spirit, even under extreme conditions. So that is false. True or false? God commands us to love people, even enemies, but He doesn't command us to like them. True or false? That's true. God does command us to love. That's the great commandment, even our enemies. But He doesn't say that we have to like them. That is, take pleasure in them. You don't have to take pleasure in something that's hurting you, but you do have to love them. True or false? Like is an emotion that comes from our soul, but love is of the Spirit. That's true. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us this. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, all these things. But like is an emotion that comes from our soul, and that's different. Like is taking pleasure in, something that gives us pleasure. That's different than love. So the answer to that is true. Like is an emotion. Love is of the Spirit. True or false? You don't have to like someone to forgive them. That's true. You don't have to like someone to forgive them, but you do have to love them. True or false? You don't even have to like someone to love them. That's true too. You know, we all need to love someone. That's from the Spirit. But you don't have to emotionally take pleasure in their presence always. So that's true. Liking someone is when you take pleasure in being around them or are glad to see them. That's true by our definition. Not liking someone is when you're glad to see them blank. Well, one definition of that might be not liking someone is when you're glad to see them go. You're not glad to see them in your presence. Okay. True or false? Loving means we act on 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 toward people, toward them. That's true. That's the definition of love. If you go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you how to act to be acting in love. When you do those things that are in that chapter, you are walking in love toward a person, and that means you're loving someone. When we need to go to another to ask them for forgiveness, and when we... Okay, let me start this again. When do we need to go to another and ask them for forgiveness? And when can we just repent to God and leave it at that? There's a good question, and I've had many questions about that myself over the years. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 5 and look at what the scripture says about this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, that means come before God, and there remember that your brother has aught against thee, leave there your gift before the altar, go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The key here, I think, is remembering that thy brother has aught against thee. When you need to go to your brother or to the other person to get something straightened out, before you can just come and get it all cleared up with God, if they know that you have aught against them, or they know that you're holding a grudge against them, then you need to get it straightened out because of what this says right here. Therefore, if you come before God to confess maybe a sin of unforgiveness, and there remember that your brother knows about this, then you need to get it straight with your brother or your sister first. The key is if they know about it. If they don't know about it, if it's just something that they did to you and you got an unforgiveness about and they did not know that you were upset with them, you don't have to go to them. But if they do know, and you have let them know of your displeasure with them and acted unlovely toward them, then you need to get it straightened out with them. So the key is, do they know? So that's the key. When they know that we harbor unforgiveness or anger toward them, we need to go to them and get it straightened out. So that completes our homework for our lesson on Be Quick to Forgive, which was lesson number 83.